The following Bass Talk Live iTunes podcast is brought to you by Lowrance. BTL, coming at you. Bass Cat Boats, Strike King Lures, AFCO, and Duckett Fishing. Good Wednesday, everybody. Welcome once again to BTL Bass Talk Live, where we're going to talk bass fishing and anything else that we want to talk about. Matthew, how you doing, man?
I'm excited for today's show because we had legend Zell Rowland.
Yeah.
We've got Larry Nixon next week, which, by the way, loyal listener of the show. I think it was like Tackle Craft. They sent me there like, dude, here is the link to when he catches that fish in the Mega Bucks tournament.
That's awesome.
On the Pistol Griff. It was like 6 pounds, 10 ounces. It went through the whole fight.
That's awesome.
It was cool. I watched it as soon as I got into the studio this morning. But yeah. Talk about the, what is that called? The polar opposite or the flip side, the yin yang. We got a guest today that is just at the start of his career, trying to get to the Larry Nixon 6'10 jumping on camera moment in his life.
Yeah. We're going to have Hunter Kenway on, who is one of the 30 anglers that Al McCullough spoke about, that is ready to pony up the money and get after it on the TNFPL. Did I say it right?
No, you didn't. Try again.
The National TNPFL.
Ding, ding, ding.
Okay. Man, that's hard. I just like the NPFL. But
so
I can't say
that. Nigerian Professional Football League. They like it too.
I know. So really looking forward to talking to him, get his insight on why he's making this decision, what other options that he had, our sponsors, you know, lining up to associate him with what he's going to do in this new league. Just
he's got 16 months to get ready for it.
Yeah. Long time.
Yep.
And what's he going to do in between now and then? Is he going to fish some BFLs? Is he going to fish something else?
Series, opens,
what are you going to do?
Team tournaments. There's a lot of stuff in the next 16 months before you make your first catch.
So we're going to talk to Hunter here in about 5-10 minutes.
How did this come about?
He sent me an email.
Cool.
Yeah, we did the show with Al, and he reached out to me. Hey, man, I'm one of the 30 guys. I'd love to come on the show and talk a little bit about my decision to do this. And why I want to pony up, how much is it?
Five grand.
30 grand?
30 grand.
Yeah.
But then the no.
Plus expenses.
Yeah, but then you get the no entry fee championship.
Yeah.
That I think he said was also 50 grand.
Yeah. First place is $50,000
like
during
said,
the regular
I
season
mean,
events.
Brad bet you yesterday. There's a bunch of guys that I know. I can know three off the top of my head that were like, I'm putting together a resume. I like the way it sounds. I think I can compete
dude,
on this.
I'm
going to earn
man,
the money. I can make money on a league like this.
I have said this a zillion times on this show. This is a perfect, perfect opportunity to put in place the PTQ.
The Pro Tour Qualifier.
Yep.
Where you have a one-day tournament prior to the start of the TNPFL tournament on a lake adjacent to that lake. You pay $500, and if you finish in the top two, they throw you in the field for a one-off of that tour event where you don't fish for Angler of the Year points, but you do fish for the money.
Great opportunity.
Just like the stud bowler can bowl his way into the pro tour bowling event that's on his home lanes and then go back to his 9-to-5 job on Monday.
That's right.
And then the money that is earned through the
PTQ
pro tour qualifier before goes to sweeten the pot for the anglers that have dedicated at least $30,000 in entry fees for that tournament.
To me, it's a no-brainer.
Whether it's a big bass that's 10,000 now, or you can bump the payout down 3 or 4.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of just bonus money because you already have all of your facilities there. You're going to have the weigh-in trailer in that area and stuff. You basically just have to have an extra day and a half or something.
Yeah.
Everyone comes in a few days early, get a couple extra G's in the bank. One dude gets to make his dream come true.
And he's not out a whole ton of money if he doesn't make the PTQ. Everybody wins in that situation. So, Al, if you're listening to me, give me a call. I'll fill you in on the PTQs. I've been a part of it. Know all about it. All right, Matthew, I have got a really, really cool story. Then I'm gonna queue up a video. I saw it this morning. You can't see it. Very, very cool story. Now, you know me, a lot of times I'm not the one to attach myself to the touchy-feely. Man, that was just a good, good story. Kindness. But this caught my eye.
I would love a good story of kindness right about now, Mark. Right,
let me
that would be a story of understanding, kindness, and compassion.
Let me see.
That could be used right now.
Now, I might get in trouble for playing this, but whatever. If
what do you mean you'd get in trouble?
Well, NBC may. It might be a copyright violation.
Well, like Al Roker's going to be outside with a rake trying to...
No, you know they have those... what are they called? Not analytics, but help me out.
I don't
algorithms.
Okay, so
on YouTube,
if it hits something that's copyrighted, it'll flag you.
Yeah.
So what does that mean then? That the replay won't be out, or
no,
you have
no,
to go
no.
back
it's
in and take
like,
it out?
You know, hey, sorry there, BTL, but this video is a copyright violation.
And that's
please
like
don't do
bumper
it.
Bumper music usually.
Usually it's music. Sometimes,
so
like in previous shows where we've played NHL fights.
Yeah,
I get flagged by the NHL.
How the heck do they know the keywords? Or is it?
I don't know.
Is there someone sitting in a dark room that's going through every video uploaded on YouTube?
I don't know how that works. It has to do with algorithms.
So then, do you have to take it off, or do you have
No. They send you this really nice message. It's not mean. It's very kind, very professional.
Just lets you know, don't do it again.
Yeah, don't do it again.
But you can still keep it up.
Yeah.
How many of those strikes do you get?
Quite a few.
How many have you had?
No, I don't have that many. I just did research on it. Because the first time I got one, I was freaking paranoid.
You thought,
oh my
they're
going to
shut down the channel.
They're going to come after me. I'm going to have this dude in a suit show up at my front door.
Explain to the people, like when I do, we'll get to this real quick. Like when you do any sort of video or anything like that, you have a subscription service that you pay, what, $10 a month? Or whatever.
It's more than that.
More
it's
than
like,
that. Or you
it's
can
like $200-$300 a year.
Pay for song. But there's tens of thousands of songs, sounds, bumpers, stingers on there that are copyright free. So then you can use that at your will in anything that you want to.
Yeah.
I mean, so you're not just like coming into a Britney Spears song and getting in trouble for
it. But, you know, people throw that stuff out on YouTube and Facebook all the time, and they get flagged. So I think it's done through... algorithm.
Hey, anyway, Josh got his fishing line.
He did. Can't wait to try it out. All right. Very cool story. And we will talk about it after I play it. Here we go. God, I got too many buttons to push here.
House. It's a popular spot, especially when those late night post party hunger pangs strike.
Talking about Waffle House.
I went home and said, I want a waffle.
But when Ethan Crispo slid into a booth after midnight on a recent Saturday night in Birmingham, Alabama, he noticed only one employee was working, scrambling to cook customers their eggs, serve the food, bust the tables, wash the dishes.
The look on his face was just bewilderment.
Ben, the short order cook, was short on help. That's when a customer seated at the counter grabbed an apron and got cracking.
The guy walks behind the counter and starts doing dishes.
Then another customer in stiletto heels, her dress bedazzled in sequins, jumped in to brew the
jug. Go to that Waffle House.
I don't think it's anything that special. He needed help, so I got up and helped out.
Crispo taking photos and taking count.
One employee, two customers helping, and probably another 25 or so customers hungrily waiting for some food.
Waffle House chalking up the short staffing to a scheduling snafu, but saying in a statement, they're grateful for the customers who stepped in. We are blessed that many of our customers feel like they're part of our Waffle House family, and we appreciate the fact that they consider our associates like family. As for Crispo's late-night waffle craving...
My waffle was great. I get a double plain waffle every time I go. No syrup. And it tastes just like I always remember it.
But what really
Savage.
Left the best
no
taste
syrup?
In his mouth was the daily special that late
waffles
Saturday
with
night.
No syrup, Mark.
The kindness of strangers.
That's the real story here.
Truly, it isn't good. It's great.
How cool is that?
I'm so baffled. Two waffles with no syrup? How do you choke those down? That's a lot. That's dry.
You're saying that's the story?
The story there is a guy who eats two waffles with no syrup on it. Yes, that's the story there.
Not the chicken, the stilettos?
That's a secondary story. And I also feel like Swindle missed his opportunity there. I mean, that's a time and place deal. If Swindle had walked in there,
that would have went viral.
You know about his Waffle House.
Oh, yeah.
Love of Waffle House.
Yeah.
I could see him back there. There you go, covered, smothered in butter, mirror, diced, chopped, and chunked.
Is that not a great story,
That's
though?
That's a good story.
Birmingham, Alabama. Give it up to those people that
jumped
behind the
counter.
Oh, it
was in Alabama, so it could have been Swindle.
That's what it was, Birmingham.
So it very well, he easily could have walked in there.
Yes.
Wow.
So do you frequent Waffle House?
Absolutely. The Catoosa Waffle House just reopened after a remodel.
It's nice,
isn't it? And the girlfriend and I will go in, and we will get Waffle House.
Yeah.
I like to go high-end when I'm there. I like to go steak and eggs.
Really?
Yes.
What does that set you back? About $8?
$8 or $9.
Not that bad.
Now, here's the real
What kind kicker. Of steak is it, though?
Yeah, it's some sort of mixture of a flank ribeye cube steak. They call it a ribeye. What I feel really dangerous, I get it medium rare. You order a medium rare steak from the Waffle House at 7 or 8 in the morning, you are in for a wild ride.
Yeah, that could do some damage there, Matthew.
But still, great story, but the dry waffle is really,
I'm
really hung up on that.
Yeah, I can't imagine trying to eat a waffle with no syrup.
Do you see how many guys use pistol grips still?
Yes! Golly, man, that was a great show yesterday. That whole discussion, and I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more
if
about it
next week. If you
had any
idea, 30 seconds before we went on live, Mark said, quote, "What the hell are we going to talk about?" And then he goes, "Screw it. Intro's running."
Look what we did. That's how we roll here at BTL. Normally, we do have somewhat of a plan, but I had no idea yesterday that Randy Howell was not going to be on till 9 a.m., and I'm like, holy crap, what are we going to talk about? And we worked a little magic, and it was one of the better shows that we've done this year. So very, very cool stuff. All right, Matthew, is that not a feel-good story? I know you're kind of in a little bit of a bad mood today. Hopefully that will cheer you up a little bit.
It's a heartwarming story, Mark. Thank you for shedding some sunlight on my otherwise.
All right, we're going to take a break, come back with Hunter Kenway, talk a little bit about his adventure in 2021. Everybody stay tuned right here on a Wednesday.
Serious about catching fish, that HDS is a dead giveaway. You've got the best fish finding sonar money can buy. Time to build the ultimate fish finding system with LiveSight sonar. See what your lure is doing in real time. Watch fish strike as it happens. See for yourself. Take the LiveSight sonar 30-day challenge. If LiveSight sonar doesn't help you find and catch more fish, send it back, no questions asked.
All of us on the Pro Tournament Trail use Gamigatsu hooks.
Why?
Because they are absolutely the best.
It's not about how many bites you get.
It's how many you put in the boat.
Gamigatsu makes hooks for every fishing style.
We didn't come this far to lose fish.
Did you?
For more information, visit Gamigatsu.com.
We've paired one of the most iconic hulls in the history of bass boats with a proven lineup of trusted accessories. We're bringing you best-in-class value and performance, leaving others in your wake. Turnkey value, turnkey performance. The Pantera 2 is an overachiever in the 19-foot category. Once you hit the throttle, you'll feel the rush, and there's no looking back.
Guys, Gerald Swindle, Sunline Pro Staff. If you're a flipper, a slack line hook setter, you're really putting a lot of impact into your hook set, look for the shooter. It comes off the smooth, really smooth. Like when you're flipping, it is smooth. If you're going to be drop shotting and cranking, sniper's the deal, man. It seems like it's a little bit less likely, like on a sharp hook set, it don't seem like it likes it as much. But for coming off the spool on spinning rod, leaders, cranking, like if I'm gonna throw a big plug at Gunnersville, I've still got strong tensile strength that's not gonna give out on me, but yet the line's thin enough for it to get down. So to me, shooter takes a hook set, snipers for everything else. So if you're gonna slack line them, go shooter.
Blue Water by TH Marine. Offering LED lighting solutions for your boat, trailer, truck, ATV, and so much more. Engineered and built to be rugged with waterproof and submersible options. Designed for easy installation, Blue Water is available in a variety of colors and styles. All backed by a limited lifetime warranty. Blue Water by TH Marine.
The name Spro says it all. Spro stands for sports professionals. When you look at the pro staff that Spro has brought on board over the past 15 years, it's been pretty incredible. I mean, one got it just then. From the development of the Rock Crawler to the McStick, from the Fat Papa to the Little John series, when you tie a Spro bait on, you know it's been designed by a professional to get the job done.
At Duckett Fishing, we have assembled the top pros in the country to help us design rods to give you a competitive advantage.
Castability, strength, durability, action, sensitivity, weight and balance, and consistency.
Combine that with the best warranty in the industry, and you have rods that are pro-driven.
Duckett Fishing, pro-driven.
I got my power pole down, stuck in the mud in the bottom of the lake, sitting so still in the wind and the waves, could even be a hurricane. I got my power pole down.
It's about the hours spent getting everything just right. It's the attention to detail. Good just isn't good enough. It's the years spent on the water, day after day. When you tie on a bait by Strike King, you're standing on the shoulders of legends.
Hey guys, Cliff Perch here with AFCO. I've got the new Camo Hooded Reaper. It's gonna be a great thing both for fishing and hunting this fall. I can tell you a couple of the features about it. Got the face mask like all the Reapers do, vented in front. It's got the fleece on the inside, so it's really comfortable. It's super warm. When you come down to the pocket, it's got this little snap system called Block Tapey, and it's silent. You know, it doesn't make that sound that other snaps and other systems that hook it together make. Great for hunting, and it's gonna keep that stuff in your pocket.
We are back on a Wednesday, closing out the week. And can we mention that at all? Or do you want to just...
About...
Jeff?
Oh, yeah. He put it out on his social media and everything. He was down there offshore.
Not his Oklahoma house.
No. Port O'Connor.
Yeah.
Down there in Texas. I've been down there once with him. He took me out and stuff. Yeah. I think he was down there with Gerald Spohr and a couple of his partners with that. And, you know, they got the big offshore boat and stuff. And they had have a house down there that they keep all their stuff in. It's a really cool house, all decked out. And they came back from offshore and got into cell phone service and now had like 300 missed calls and messages. And it turns out that it caught on fire somehow while they were offshore yellowfin tuna fishing, and it's all gone. Now, I haven't talked to him. I talked to Jared Miller, who's buddies with Creed, and he talked to him. So they don't know anything. No, they just know that, you know, their buddies down there got things kind of taken care of, so they were able to get their boat out of the water because they backed the trailer. You know, the trailer was aluminum. It was melted. Everything. Creed's brand-new truck gone. I mean, all this stuff. Let's just hope Creed's insurance game is more organized than his tackle and clothing and truck organization. Well, you know, he's got that.
He's got a finance degree from the University of Oklahoma. So let's hope. All right, it is time to go to our special guest.
But everyone was okay, by the way. No one was in the house.
They were offshore.
So
yeah.
Major pain in the butt, a lot of irreplaceable trophies and old tackle. Like, you know, all those lures they use, they're all like $200-$300 a piece. A spool of line's like $1,000. I went offshore with them when I did. He's like, hey, you know how Creed is. He's like, you like that reel? And I was like, yeah. He's like, hell yeah, you do. You know why you like it? And I was like, why? He's like, because it's $2,600. And I'm like, this spinning reel? He's like, yup.
Wow. That sounds just like him. All right. It is time to go to our special guest. The man is one of the 30 people that, for now, is going
to
be...
Has committed to...
Fish the...
Let's see it. You got a chance right now to redeem yourself.
The TNPFL.
Oh, you're a true professional, Mark.
I have issues with that. So he sent me an email and was willing to come on the show and talk about it. So I'm really curious to hear what he has to say. Let's bring him in. Hunter, you there, man?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
How are you guys doing today? Doing well, man. Thanks for taking time out. And first of all, I got to give it up to you for even sending the email to us and saying, hey, man, I'm willing to come on and talk about this. So major props for doing that.
Oh, thank you. I mean, you know, I just feel like I wanted to talk about it and let people know, you know, why it's a good thing and why I'm signing up for it. I think guys need to hear, you know, why they need to, you know, basically try it out.
All right, let's do this. Why don't you give the fans and Matt and I a little bit of background on yourself, what your experience is. Do you have a full-time job? Al was very specific in saying, you know, this is kind of a thing that is designed for the working man. What is your history?
Okay, so I'll start from the beginning. I've been bass fishing since I was about 4 years old. Got into tournament fishing when I was about 9 or 10. My cousin Bradley got me into it when we were little, fishing farm ponds. Got into high school, started fishing a lot of high school bass fishing tournaments. When I was 16, got in my first Bassmaster Open as a co-angler. Fished some BFLs as a co-angler. Fished a lot of local big derbies. And like I said, had a lot of success in high school fishing. I do work a full-time job. I work with my cousin, the one I just mentioned. I'm kind of in a unique position in life. I'm able to go fishing whenever I need to and do tournaments when I need to. I don't have a lot of responsibilities. I don't have a house, no kids, no wife. You know, I basically have dedicated my whole life to this sport and trying to make it professional. And just, I've been really passionate about it since I was younger. I mean, I used to make cardboard trophies of the Bassmaster Classic Trophy and Elite Series Trophy. And we used to fish against them at our, you know, our little farm ponds at the house and stuff. So, yeah, I've been basically dedicated my whole life to this sport and trying to make it professional.
So how old are you now?
I am just turned 22.
Okay. And you live where?
I live in Griffin, Georgia.
Where's that in Georgia? Like, if you're looking at
Atlanta,
Georgia.
Atlanta?
Yeah, it's about 30, 40 minutes south of Atlanta.
So you have to tow a bass boat through Atlanta on a regular basis?
If I want to go to Lake Lanier, yeah.
Wow. I've done that twice, and I stop each time afterwards, and I get down on my knees, and we, like, high-five and pray, like, get down on the knees and pray, thank you, I made it through Atlanta.
Yeah,
I try to avoid going to Lake Lanier as much as possible, but if I have to, I'm more of a West Point Lake, Lake Oconee, Eufaula, Seminole kind of guy.
All right, so what is your experience? What's your resume look like from a fishing standpoint?
Well, I have fished a lot of BFLs, you know, a couple Bassmaster Opens as a co-angler, and I fished a lot of big stick tournaments around here in Georgia. I've fished just about any tournament you can fish in Georgia. I've been fishing, like I said, man, I fished a lot of high school. I fished our state championship 3 times, the TBF. Nothing really giant, you know, no Bassmaster Opens as a pro boater, and I'll get into that in a minute. And why I haven't, and no coasters. I don't have a lot of experience. I don't have any experience in the coasters at all.
Why is that?
Just because of, I would say, probably the money. You know, I feel like that's the biggest problem in this game now is you know, I've tried getting sponsors to go do the Opens and the Coastas, but the problem was is none of them were interested to cough up the money to help. You know, I don't come from a lot of money, so it was kind of hard to get the money to go fish these tournaments. Because I know you're looking at, like, what, $6,000 to fish one division in the Opens, not counting your expenses, so it comes out like $12,000 I added up. You know, it was hard to get that. And I've had people who were close to helping me out, but then they would just drop out.
All right,
so I've really just kind of stayed with the BFLs and local big stick tournaments.
So you're 22 from Georgia, set up, want to do this as a career, not bankrolling seven figures every single year where you're just living. Yeah. So this is what you want to do. No Cossacks. So kind of talk us through then how you first heard about the TNPFL, and then how it came about to where you were right now are committed to be to one of the 30 anglers that Al talked about when he came on to paying a $30,000 entry fee in 2021, 16 months from now, to be fishing this thing.
Okay, well, let me start by first saying I am in college.
Okay.
I'm in business management marketing, so I figured that would help with sponsorships and, you know, future deals, and it's kind of like what I like anyway. I love business. Anyway, yeah, so this – I'm sure you guys will agree. This whole new league just came out of nowhere, and I kind of wasn't interested in it at first. But then when I started hearing the interviews from other podcasts and then I heard this one, I was definitely – you know, interested 100%. I thought it was just the way that he explained how this league is going to be and how it's going to be ran. I think it's just a great opportunity for guys in my position. And I know I don't come from money, so I can't, you know, pay the entry fees, and people think it's going to be challenging to pay them entry fees, but I want to get your guys' input on this too. Think about this. When the Bass Pro Tour came out this year, that's all anyone was thinking about and wanted to watch. When Stage 1 at Kissimmee came out, I don't know if you guys saw it, but their live stream numbers was like, what, 1.3 million people watched the live stream?
It froze it. There were so many people watching.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I honestly, in my opinion, I think it'll be the same way when this league comes out with their first tournament. You're going to have so many eyeballs. The whole fishing industry is going to be watching this. So why wouldn't sponsors want to dip their toes in this, get their more brand exposure, you know, in this new league with these new guys? I mean, I feel like he's going to have success getting sponsors for this league, but I think guys will also have huge success getting sponsorships to partner with them to help pay for the entry fees and fish in these this new league.
All right, since you're a business major,
you should have said that's what Jeffries is in. You said that, and I saw his eyes light up. So
Not great.
We go. We're going to go down the business wormhole with Hunter and Jeffries, and I'm going to sit back like the
communications
major that I am and let them talk.
No. Listen, Hunter, you have some valid statements there, but at the same time, part of the reason that the visibility of the BPT at the beginning is because everybody wanted to know what it was about. Everybody wanted to see what the product was going to be like. And then what happened was is the numbers dramatically decreased based upon the press releases and the information that they made public. Now, did they have a lot of eyeballs? Mm-hmm. Yes, they did. But the viewership declined at a pretty substantial rate because obviously people wanted to know what it was like in the beginning. The point I'm trying to make is those were big, huge, massive names in the game, the superstars of the game. Why would somebody want to watch a bunch of people that they don't have an established performance record, of which there isn't that superstardom associated with this trail at this time? Now, I'm not disagreeing with you saying that very first one, I think a lot of people are going to tune in because they're curious.
Devil's advocate on this, but I want to see how Hunter answers.
They want to see what it's like. The curiosity is going to be there. But to substantiate the revenue streams that is required, you've been very open with us and the fans saying, you know, you don't come from an affluent family, you don't have a whole lot of money. Dude, you're going to have to come up with $60,000 over 2 years to do this. Now you're in direct competition with not only people and sponsors that have been out there trying trying to get sponsorship revenue for years. Now, all of a sudden, you're stepping in the pool where there's piranhas, sharks, few catfish fishing around there, and it becomes very enormously difficult, man. So what are your thoughts on it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll put it this way. You know, when the Elite Series got drained and now they got these new guys, yes, the Bassmaster, I know they're big name. Everyone's going to watch Bassmaster Live. But this is the reason why I think the BPT didn't get the views like they did in the first tournament. Because, and it's my opinion only, I think it because of the format. Because it's hard for guys to want to watch that format and the way they go about things. It's confusing for a lot of people. It was confusing for me. I kind of like the first stage one. I thought it was really cool how they set everything up. They were professional about it. But the more you watch it, it's just not entertaining to me. There's no drama there. So I agree, the NPFL, they're going to have that drama. They got the five fish limit format that is ingrained in our DNA. We love to watch. We love to watch guys catch big fish. So I feel like, yeah, they're going to have that drama. They're going to have to, you know, make stories and characters out of these guys and all these people that are going to fish in it. So, you know, I think more people will tune in to watch that because they're more, you know, they're more, they know the five fish limit format. They know how it's going to work. They know how things are going to go. And, you know, that also has to do with the team and, you know, who's talking and live and how they put on the show. But I feel like people watch Bassmaster Live probably more this year than ever. I loved Bassmaster Live this year. I think it was the best it's ever been. And we don't know them guys. These guys were new guys. Yeah, you had a couple Elite Series guys that everybody knew. But still, I don't think it's really the people. You can make character out of these guys, but I think it all has to do with the format. And I think it has to do a lot with how professional your live coverage is.
I agree with that. There's a lot.
That's a good statement.
I agree with that 100%.
As far as the people, though, I mean, he's got the think about it. Well-spoken. Initiative to send you the email for
Dude,
it, so he's
props.
On the start. All right, you got a quick question. Jeffries and I are over here fighting over who's going to ask the next question.
Super quick question. Have you spoken with any of the other anglers that have committed to this event or to this series beginning in 2021? I don't want to know
have
their
I
names. I just want to know if you've had conversation with other anglers.
Yeah, without,
that are gonna,
without names.
Yeah, that are going to be
like,
a part
yeah,
of
we've
this.
Yeah, we've chatted.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I haven't. Everyone I've actually tried to talk to some people that I know that are really good to fish in this, and no one will do it. Everyone's kind of scared, and kind of everybody wants to see where this goes first. But, no, I have not talked to anyone yet. I don't know any names either.
Here's something that kind of dawned on me after the interview with Alan. I was kind of getting ready for this interview with you, Hunter, and stuff. And the kind of names that I have talked to that have expressed an interest in this are regional guys who have had a lot of success, who there's kind of guys who are like, I wonder how they, you know, they would catch him on a bigger stage. Like they're the regional and local Steve Kennedys. And I think that you're going to have a lot of, and this is just hypothetical here, but I think there's going to be a lot of regional type anglers that have kicked everyone's ass in their club and maybe their Bass Nation for years.
And those people
are going to watch their buddy on the live stream of this new league, not because they think they're famous and stuff, but because they want to learn how they fish, because they personally know them and they know how good those anglers are. And I think that could be a key fan base. And I, like I said, I don't want to name names, but I've got three names on the top of my head where it'd be like, dude, I'd really like to watch him fish and see how he does at that national
heck
level.
Yeah, yep, absolutely.
Well, see, that's like my dad. My dad's kind of my manager. He kind of helps me with everything that goes on in my fishing career, and he said the same thing. He said, I want to see some of these guys kind of like me fish. I've never fished the best lakes in the world. I think the best lake I've ever fished is like Lanier and Seminole, but that's what I'm saying. You take some of these local guys like your Stephen Kennedys and put them on the best lakes in the world against some high competition with some good money on the line. You're going to see these guys perform just as good as the Elite Series guys, I feel like.
I got to say this.
And that's in my opinion.
I got to say this. On the instant feedback, we have a lot of Dave Ramsey fans.
Yeah, I know.
I actually teach.
Yeah, I'm a,
portions of Dave Ramsey's seminars
in your high school classes,
in my finance class.
I just can't picture you as a teacher. I really can't. I can't picture someone saying, but Mr. Jeffries.
No, it's Coach Jeffries.
Coach Jeffries, I need an extension. I need an extension on this paper. Yeah. That's not how life really works, son.
No, anyway, I just teach part time. Hunter, I teach a finance and an economics class at a high school. Anyway,
I thought you was a teacher.
Yeah,
he is.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's my question: then you've got 16 months. What's your game plan to get to the point where you need to be when this thing kicks off in the spring of 2021? You've got a year.
So far, I have talked to a couple of companies. Nothing serious just yet. You know, we got to wait till November ends and see the full list of people who's in it first. But I'm probably going to fish some of the BFLs next year, a good bit of those, a lot of local tournaments just to keep my game going, and talk to some sponsors, talk to some companies, try to get some deals worked out. I don't think I'll have a problem getting sponsored. I mean, it'll be challenging for sure, yes, but I don't think I'll have a problem to get enough money for the entry fees. Just because from the people I've talked to. And, you know, they said, I think that he said last week on DTL, Al, he said they're going to have a package for the guys who get chosen, like a sponsorship media package.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. I really like that. And that's what I'm saying about this league, guys. I feel like it's really going to help out the guys like me that are in my kind of position who don't have a lot of money but have devoted their life to this game and have the time and can take off to go do this. I think it's really going to help us because let's look at MLF and FLW right now. Not only was it a hard mountain to climb to get to the FLW tour, now you're going to have to climb that mountain, get to the FLW tour, and then still you're at a AAA level. You're not even professional level yet. Then you got to climb your way to get to the BPT. I just looked at that and I said, that I ain't got 2 years. I don't have really time to wait and try to climb that mountain. Then I looked at the Opens. I have tried fishing the Opens as a boater twice. Got declined both times because I couldn't cough up the entry fees right up front. I didn't have a co-angler, didn't know anyone to fish with me in them, so I didn't really get chosen twice. And I look at the Opens, yes, I think they're the best way so far right now to get professional, but you got to think they're not really paying out a whole lot, and just entry fees are outrageous. So is the expenses.
All right, here it is, 16 months away. You don't have any secured right now at the rate to get the entry fees necessary, $1,875 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be good to go in 16 months. You'll have the entry fees. So, I mean, that sounds doable. Yeah. That's more than like, oh, hey, go out and get 30 grand.
I think it's totally doable. I mean, you got plenty of time. I feel like I'm equipped enough to talk to these companies, give them the facts, and you know, with that media package they give me, that's a bonus. I feel like I can talk to these companies and help me, you know, get the money to go do this. I'm really confident that I can probably do it because I know there's going to be companies out there, you know, endemic and non-endemics, that are going to want to be in this new league and have some guys, you know, some skin in the game is what I mean, some guys that are in this. Because my vision in the next 3 years, this league right now, I know it don't look like a professional league, but I think in the next 3 years, you're going to see a league that is on a professional level. I've always called this, I've been telling everybody the past couple of weeks, this new league is the new FLW, kind of. It just came out of nowhere. You know, it's kind of taken FLW's place, so to speak. So, you know, it's going to be the new professional league. And I think, you know, it really just depends on how everybody performs, you know, and I just think it's going to be big. I think it's going to be good. I think a lot of people are going to, you know, going to get the money and going to be able to do it. I really think so.
Okay. I'm going to just spit you. I like hypothetical stuff here. I know you said your dad's your agent, but I got an idea. I got an idea, Hunter. What year are you in school?
Like in college right now?
Yeah.
I'm in my third year.
Third, so next year's your senior year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you probably have to do a capstone project, and you're in business. You need to find a teacher to do a capstone project where you turn it into your senior thesis of examining the league and then exploring sponsorship options and turn that into a project to where you go to these companies and you're using it as part of your capstone project in college to get the sponsorship to be able to fish this as soon as you graduate. Is that not a good idea, Mark?
Yeah.
I mean, that would examine everything 100%. in business and marketing and stuff. And you can go to a senior professor and say, hey, I want to do this for my capstone. And you follow out all the different marketing and business strategies and all that, and then use that for school and to secure sponsorship. I mean, if I'm in a company and a kid comes to me for that, I'd be more likely to be like, yeah, I'm going to throw him a couple grand. This guy is ingenuity. He's taking a risk. He's thinking ahead. He's multitasking.
Yeah.
Just spitballing that.
Well, I also kind of own my own little side business I'm trying to work out, too. That's kind of my backup plan. It just don't work out.
All right.
It's
now,
I'm
sorry. Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
It's okay. It's a clothing brand. That's what I'm kind of working on right now. It's kind of an outdoor fishing clothing brand is what I'm working with right now.
Another competitive, very competitive. There.
Competitive marketplace.
Yeah. Anyway, a lot of people on the instant feedback want to know, how did this come about, you being one of the 30? Did you get a contract already from Al, or is there no contract signed, or is this something that you just can't even talk about?
There is no contract yet. I have been talking to Al back and forth through email, and I actually emailed him before you called me yesterday, and I asked him, are you okay with me going on here? Is there anything I'm not supposed to say? Because there's no contract. There's nothing. And he was okay with it. But I do want to clarify, like I told you yesterday, that there is – no one is chosen yet. No one's guaranteed in. Like Al said, they have to come out with a list at the end of November. I'm just one of the 30 guys that's committed to fish so far. So if they don't fill the field, I don't know where that puts me, but I'm one of the guys that's committed to fish this league, you know, just because, like I said, this might be my only opportunity. And no, there wasn't a contract. There's nothing so far. But I have been in discussion with Al through email talking about this.
All right, man. Well, I give it up to you for coming on the show.
Yeah, anything else you want to get in?
Yeah.
That we didn't ask you?
I wanted to say that I would rather put syrup on my waffles so I don't choke. I heard you guys talking about
How
that.
How crazy is that?
I heard that and I was like, wait a minute, what?
I know.
All right. Do you have any, dude, up and coming guy, where can we follow you on the Instagram, YouTube, Facebook? Mate. I mean, you got people now that are going to want to see how this goes.
Mainly Instagram is my biggest social media platform, but I'm trying to get better on YouTube. I already have a couple of videos on YouTube. I'm trying to get there. It's Hunter Kenway Fishing, and that's my Instagram too, Hunter Kenway Fishing. That's basically it. I'm not a big Twitter guy.
I don't know anyone who's big on Twitter. Do you know anyone who's big on Twitter, Mark? You ever get on Twitter late
Trump.
At night and just, well, I'm talking about you, just
no.
fire off fishing-related
no,
tweets?
I don't do social media. I don't even look. The only time I look is when you send me something or Dave sends me something. It's just, I have better things to do.
Oh.
Anyway.
Hunter's already following me, and I didn't follow him back. Now he's got a new follower.
There you have it.
Now I feel bad about that.
All right, Hunter.
I follow you because I do. I didn't know what you looked like. I was like, this guy, how old is he? Is he probably in his 20s and he's doing this? This is awesome. And I got on there and I found out how old you were. And I was like, holy cow, you look way younger and sound younger than you are.
He's an old man, dude. I'm a real old man. But, yeah, he's going to be 40 soon.
No, I'm 35 now. But like I said, just you make poor life decisions and just live like a 25-year-old for that. No kids, not married.
Well, man, congratulations though on your coast to third place. That's awesome. I thought I was rooting for you the whole time, and you know I would say that's a win. 20 grand in third place.
Hey, we celebrated, awesome. Man. Apple cider.
We spewed the studio with apple cider everywhere. Jeffrey's got a in studio big stick out of the deal.
I know. Very nice. All right, All right, Hunter. We're gonna let you go, man. But we want to wish you the best. Good luck with everything you have going on. Do well in school, man. Get that school done. That is a priority and should be a priority. I tell that to my kids all the time that I teach in high school, that you know.
It tells it to Teddy what he'll listen.
I do.
Told it to Sheldon Collins.
I do.
He's never even met the guy.
I said, dude, man, 30 grand can
never
buy
even
a pretty
met
good
the guy,
NBA.
Trying to tell him what he needs to do with his life.
Anyway, man, no. Wish you the best. Thanks for coming on the show. And look forward to seeing you when this thing kicks off in 2021.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for having me, and I really appreciate the opportunity. Hopefully, this is not my last time on here. Hopefully, you'll be interviewing me soon
right.
in the near future.
Very cool, man. All right. Take care.
All right, guys.
All right.
You.
See
you. You too.
There you have it. Hunter Kenway.
Likeable guy.
Yeah.
Should I say how my age would be like, that's a likable kid.
What do you have to say about this statement that I'm getting ready to make? A massive hill to climb for this kid. Yes or no?
No.
On what basis?
I've researched a lot of success. Like, look at what Casey Ashley did coming in. Look at what Derek Remitz did, first and second. Look at there's guys who are believing themselves, who are motivated, who have a goal or dream that they're trying to reach. And in this, my old age, my wise age, I have come to realize it's not a mountain if you don't, you're not climbing a mountain if you don't realize you're climbing a mountain. There's two types of people who succeed in this. If you look at anglers, I'll name one. Look at Fred. Fred doesn't worry about stuff. Look at Chris Lane. Chris Lane doesn't. They just went out and freaking caught fish. Then you see where they kind of start struggling. They start worried about stuff. They start looking at the mountain. Heck, they climbed the mountain, didn't even realize they were climbing a mountain when they started this thing. There's anglers who are. And then, do you not agree with that?
I agree with you on the basis of one thing. There's one thing that is very common with both of those individuals that you just
mentioned.
Enthusiastic? No.
What?
The brand that they were associated with and the platform.
Right.
What put Chris over the top?
5 wins in 6 years.
That's right. And what? What did he win?
The Bassmaster Classic.
Okay.
And Fred Rambanis won an Elite Series and a major.
That's right. All right?
That's
because
what I'm saying.
Because of the platform. All right? Because of the platform.
And I just use them as guys who are enthusiastic, excitable, kind of all over the map.
Dude, I get it.
Yeah.
But the mountain that this kid has to climb, a lot of that mountain is made up of the platform that he's going to be fishing.
Right. Now, I feel like, okay, listen, he's not climbing a mountain. He's climbing a volcano. and there's a chance, you know what? It
he's
might
not going to fall in.
It might be a great Hawaii vacation trip where you're walking around the lava putting flowers behind your girlfriend's ears. Or the thing might explode halfway up and you have to run down. All I'm saying is I give him a chance because of how well he spoke it, how well he talked about his enthusiasm for it. And, you know, if you don't know you're climbing a mountain and all of a sudden you find yourself at the top of the mountain, there you go.
He's pretty green from a fishing standpoint.
Right, but he's all, is he not set up in the right way as far as not married, in college, no kids?
I don't disagree with that whatsoever.
Not that you can't be not married. I mean, look, there's guys with like 15 kids who
fish. I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. I think everybody else does too. You're not discriminating against guys that fish that are married and have kids.
It's just easier. What if you want to go work on tackle for 6 hours on a Tuesday night?
Yeah.
And eat beanie weenies and top ramen for a month and a half.
You
don't
have
one saying, hey, this is a lot of sodium for our children.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I wish him nothing but the best, but man, that volcano, and I like that term, that he is going to have to climb is substantial. It is substantial. The competitiveness.
Charlie Hartley, cursed with the passion and not much talent. Get out of here, Charlie.
I know, he can freaking catch
he
him.
He just Jeez. Go wins the open points year after year.
Anyway. Yeah, come on, Charlie. Anyway. The competitiveness for that sponsorship dollar is once again, part of the makeup of that mountain. Dude, it is hard. It is really, really hard to get those sponsorships. And so many of those sponsorships that start out are due to what? One thing.
Personal relationships?
Yeah.
You know what else is really hard that I discovered this year? Catching a damn fish. You have to catch like 5 of them a day. It shouldn't be that hard. You finally get there. Like, I went 2 tournaments, Mark, where I caught 5 keepers in 4 days on Lake Amistad and Lake of the Ozarks. Like, it's really hard to catch fish. It's so easy to forget the fish catching concept, too. But he's got time to grow. He's got time to learn. It'll be interesting if he's one of the early commits. He's probably going to have a year to kind of study where this first year is.
Yeah.
I
hope the dude gets his degree.
It'll be interesting to see, you know, if they have off limits or anything like that. But if you're committed a year in advance and they come out with it, you basically have a year to prepare for 6 tournaments.
Yeah. Yeah, Frank in Michigan wants to know, are you going to be putting in a resume?
I don't know. I've had that talk. I've had that conversation. But I hope I'll still be able to get into the Bassmaster Opens. And there's some other options on the table, depending on how other things shake out. There are some schedules that involve lakes that I've had success on that I'd like to fish.
We'll see.
For new series.
I hope, Al did mention on the show, they are going to make a West Coast swing, and I think that's really good for guys on the West Coast. They deserve some action out on the West Coast. An enormous amount of really, really, really good anglers on the West Coast that just can't do this game because of the cost.
Your gut opinion, one interview with Al, one interview with Hunter, and a couple conversations later, do they get 125 and start this thing on schedule?
Dude, what? I'm sorry. I was looking at somebody trying to make a wager with me.
I said through the interview with Al, interview with Hunter.
Yeah.
I'm kind of sniffing around a little bit.
Yeah.
Do they get 125? And is this trail... Here's an easier question to answer. When this trail kicks off in 2021, will it be exactly as it is being proposed right now?
I think from a structure format, yes. Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I think they're going to fulfill what they've launched from a structure standpoint, from a format standpoint. I think they will have their, 6 events.
Mm-hmm.
You know, winter, spring, summer, fall, that whole situation. I don't know. Seriously, I look dead in the camera. I have no idea. I don't want to speculate. I have no idea if they're going to get 125. I really don't. That's a lot of money, man.
Will this tournament be covered on the same level as a FLW Pro Circuit BPT Elite Series Bassmaster Open? Or will that take...
Internally, yes. Absolutely, 100%. They will have blowout coverage internally.
Will it be considered a professional win? Like, let's say an angler goes on to win a Bassmaster Open. I mean, you see what I'm saying on that? That's going to take a couple years.
I think that is an individual interpretation of what the word professional means.
You're paying $30,000 entry fee. It's your only job. And you're
Go back. It's not your only job.
I
don't know, man. I don't know.
We could just start another hour discussion on what makes a professional angler or not. We've not had that over the past 20 years, have we?
No, just numerous times. Anyway, Scott in Virginia wants to know, they're not doing the co-angler thing.
No. Marshals. Marshals, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so no co-anglers. And Al didn't really get into how they're going to do that or what they're going to do.
Depressing. I was optimistic and young once. Now I'm old and cynical. You and Jeffries need to talk. You need to get together for some dry waffles and a cup of coffee. You guys would get along famously.
That's not true. Jeez. A West Coast only version of the TNPFL would fly. What are your thoughts?
Have you guys not heard of One Bass?
Yeah.
Arizona Open, California Open.
They're doing pretty good.
U.S. Open. Dude, the One Bass is killing it out there.
A lot of people want to know, Charlie, you going to send in a resume for this?
He said no.
I know what he said, but I'm trying to get an official statement from him. So, Charlie, if you're still listening, people want to know.
Charlie just likes catching a bass.
Yeah, Dwayne and Norman, this is a professional hobby. Any comments? Matthew?
I've said, when people say it's a sport, I've said it's a competitive activity. When you can pay a certain amount of money to be involved with it without any qualifying deal, it's a professional, it's a hobby. It's a competitive hobby.
Do you classify somebody playing for the Tulsa Oilers ice hockey team a professional?
Yes, 100%.
I agree.
100%. That is what they do.
Yeah.
Now, they might work at a car dealership or construction in
because
the
they're only getting paid, what, $300 a game?
No,
maybe?
they make
that's double A hockey, right?
Yeah, well, now it's in the ECHL, so it's actually kind of more down the chain. It's actually third. It goes NHL, AHL, ECHL. So you've got a lot of guys who are drafted, and, you know, you've got some veterans in there that are actually making $60,000 a year, some of them. You know, you got guys on two-way contracts between the AHL and stuff. Yeah, that's perfect. It's not like the SPHL where max you're making $12,000. You know, those are professional guys.
Maybe the old CHL.
But here's the thing. You don't make the Tulsa Oilers minor league hockey team unless you've dedicated your life to hockey. There's no one who's like, I played men's league and then the Oilers called me. Like, I mean, you are a professional to get to that level. And I mean, I've played back in the day when I was young before I got old. I played with some of those guys who went and played that. And the skill set between, you know, a D1 club player like me or a junior A player and a USHL player, a D1 Denver, Michigan college player, an EC, I mean, it's a big gap. And that's the biggest thing in this whole environment thing that we're talking about is I can't look at you and say, oh, that guy's a great fit, you know, great. Anybody can say they're a great fisherman and then they can go out and compete against it, but it's not until you see the results. It's like pretty an obvious separation in the stick and ball sports that doesn't exist. I mean, look at the Coastal Championship. When I finished ahead of Charlie Hartley, Todd Castle. I finished ahead of Brian Thrift. Like, am I better than Brian Thrift? Hell no. I'm not better than 50% of that field, and the other 50 that I feel like I'm competitive with could beat me. There's a 0% chance I could go out in a minor league hockey game and be competitive. Zero. There's absolutely no chance right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Charlie made his official statement on the Insta feedback. No interest.
Wants to requalify for the Elites, the Classic, or FLW Tour.
Yeah. A lot of people are saying, hey, are they going to have a feeder system? You know, I don't know. Don't know.
It doesn't sound like it right now. I mean, it sounds like they're just trying to get their 125 guys. And
do you consider yourself a bass fishing professional?
Absolutely not.
I agree.
I'm an industry professional that dabbles in a myriad of semi-lucrative ventures.
Well put. My partner, well put. Wow, a lot of people acted.
But after fishing two divisions of the coasts, do I feel more comfortable speaking out as an angler? Yes. You go back before this year, stuff I didn't really have a leg to stand on talking as an angler.
Yeah.
I still don't feel like I do.
I'm trying to wrap up the week here. Oh, did you see where Don Cherry got fired?
Yeah, I did.
I don't even
get
it.
Does Charlie Hartley consider himself a professional angler?
Charlie?
Answer that one. I'm curious.
I didn't realize that Don Cherry was 85 years old.
Yeah, he's been doing it forever.
He looks good for 85, man.
Yeah.
Did you see somebody offered him a job in Russia?
Oh, did you see Scott Darling's playing in, like, Italy now?
Yeah. Interesting.
Someone offered him a job at Russia. I just remember Don Cherry, the Rock'em Sock'em Six. I'm 12 years old. I put the VHS cassette tape in on the way to the Mite Double A hockey game. Da-da-da-da-da. Now it's time for Hellacious Hip Check. Scott Stevens, Bo Wango, Al McGinnis. Boom.
That was it. That was cool. All right. I think I got it just about caught up there. What do you guys, Dave asked, what do you guys at BTL think these owners will take as a salary? Owners
of the NFL BLFT post.
I have no idea.
The National Professional.
I do know this, and I said this when Al came on the show. They got some Gnosians. I mean, they're putting up their own money.
Mm-hmm. They're putting up several owners. It's just
Everybody that's involved in this.
It's guys who've been in the industry for a while, too.
Yeah. So, I, hey, man, to each his own. If that's the investment that you want to forthcome your savings, then Have at it.
I like your vest today, by the way.
Do what?
It's a very sporty vest you have there.
Today is
that cashmere?
I don't know.
Does it feel softer than cotton?
It's pretty soft.
Is it?
Yeah, you can't touch
Not
it.
Not itchy? Let me touch your vest.
You can't touch it. Touch no. Get away from me.
Let me just see. I'll be able to tell.
Here.
Dude, that's a cashmere V-neck vest.
Yeah. You know me, I love the vest. I'm all about the vest, man. In fact, I have to go pick up my new, here, I'm going to say it, Matthew, Adidas team wear tomorrow.
Cool. Have fun with that. I'll stick with AFCO. Speaking of which.
For basketball, of course.
Speaking of which, before we get off of here, this is spiraled into randomness. The AFCO Bass Boot Camp from Lake Cumberland. I'm getting tired of talking about this. Once the last video's out, I ain't talking about it anymore. Finished third place at tournament. Act like it's a freaking life-changing experience.
Well, it was.
It's third place. Who finished third place last year at the Coastal Championship?
Couldn't tell you.
There you go. Who finished third place at the Classic last year?
Zaldane?
I have no idea. I don't think so. Oh, wasn't it Mark Daniels Jr.? Zaldane only caught like one or two fish on the last day. Yeah, finished 10th.
I don't know.
Or was it?
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Who finished third place at the Forest Wood Cup?
Couldn't tell you.
Name me anybody who has ever finished third place in any tournament.
Couldn't tell you.
Case point made here.
But they didn't
I'm putting this into context just for the people. But should you want to see what a third place finish does look like over on the AFCO YouTube channel, and go ahead and give them a like. There's going to be a bunch more stuff coming out on that. It is a four-part series that covers, I had the cameras rolling. I was rooming with Travis Manson, a smallmouth crush. We both finished in the top five. So I've got a practice video that came out last week. Days one and two came out yesterday. Already getting a lot of good feedback on that. And then later this week, the final day will come out. And then there's a bonus four-part to the series that will come out next week. Go over, watch that. You get to see. I can't just ever go and have a normal tournament and catch him and nothing happens. Like, why can't I just have a boring, solid finish?
That's not how you roll, man.
So go over, watch that, and let me know what you think about it.
It's not how you roll. All right, let me get the music queued up there. Hey, dude, we are really, really close to 700 reviews. All right? I'd really like to get to 700 reviews on iTunes by next week. And then once we reach 700, I'm going to give away a $100 gift certificate to somebody that has done a review between 600 and 700.
Now, I apologize to anybody who's finished third in a tournament. I wasn't meaning to insult you with that. It is a great accomplishment to reach that level and then be in the top five.
Yeah. Hey, it would also be really cool if we could get to 800 before Christmas. Before Christmas. Heck, before Thanksgiving, but I don't think that's going
to
happen.
Big thanks to Hunter Kenway. Impressive interview. Proactive to get a hold of it and wish him all the best.
Yeah. Everybody be safe. We know a large part of the country is frozen, so try and stay warm. Next week, big week, Scott Canterbury Monday, Larry Nixon on Tuesday, and then I did get the contact info and confirmation that we're going to have the grassroots guy on Wednesday.
Who qualified for the FLW Pro Circuit next year.
Yes, and finished third
in the Central.
In the Central of the Costas. And, I apologize. I don't have his name handy. Hang on here. Is this it?
I know his buddy's name is Jerry.
Jeremy. Yeah. That's his agent.
No, he made it very clear that he wasn't his agent.
Yeah. Jimmy Washam.
Yep.
All right, on Wednesday.
Yeah, remember, we looked him up on the show. He's caught him.
Yeah. All right, great week. I want to thank everybody for all the feedback. Keep it coming. Please remember to review us on iTunes, and let's get to 700 this weekend, and I want to give some money away next week. All right, everybody, thank you. Thank you to the fans. Thank you to the guests. Matthew, be safe. That's it. We're out of here.